lads, and
that's why it sits like that.
Yes, so he's back and he's in the position, and he's been fixing people who have befuddled PC problems. Is that not right, Doc?
Well, we do try, yes, we do try and solve people's problems here.
Fantastic.
Good evening, Edward Joseph, your friendly digital doctor here. Actually, what David was saying about the Windows 95 can be puzzling and perplexing to people, and it's quite tricky, actually, to set up. Depending who's set up your machine already with Win 95, you can go through all kinds of different paths and menus. We have actually made up a cheat sheet, and revision one of our Windows 95 setup cheat sheet for PPP, including the issues you were talking about, are actually on www.mychronica.com.au, or actually FTP, so you'll have to do an ftp.mychronica.com.au.
So go there.
In the Win 95 directory, there's a file called Hints.
That was a very subtle plug, wasn't it?
Well, it'll help somebody, I think.
Important.
Okay, I was going to talk about all kinds of different things tonight, and then I thought, no, we'll talk about CD-ROM drives and sound cards. Now, what's there to know about that? The thing we've had from some people is people are asking, how do you go about playing normal audio CDs on your CD-ROM drive? And I thought, yes, well, that's pretty boring. But no, people are asking it, and people are having trouble doing it.
MCI drivers.
No!
QCD.
No.
QCD.
And do we have any more offers? No. Okay, here it is, folks. You see, there is some perplexed confusion.
No, I had unbelievable problems with my MCI driver.
He's going to tell us.
Oh, not only that.
He's going to tell us here.
This is audio CDs. Now, sure, you can use your CD player to play normal audio CDs. It's a bit of a glorified audio CD player, I suppose. But yes, you can do it if you really want to. Well, not only that, but, I mean, you pay, you know, hundreds of dollars for your SCSI CD-ROM drive and your 10-spin, whatever it is, and then...
Ooh, like Mariah Carey through it, yeah.
Oh, like that other thing we heard before.
Yes.
Now, you can play the audio CDs through your computer, not just your computer CDs. In fact, once you start up your audio CD player software, say under Windows or whatever, it'll actually play quite nicely on itself, by itself. And even if you exit your software, your player software, it'll just continue to play quite merrily.
Get me to your machine off, it just plays all night, can't shut the thing up.
Actually, it can be quite tricky to turn it off. You really either need to eject the disk or you need to fire up the software and press stop. Now, some people are still puzzled, though, why it doesn't work for them. Now, here's the scenario, as usual. You put in your audio CD, you start up your audio CD software, mm-hmm. and no go. No sound, no nothing.
Yeah,
what do you do?
That.
So, what's the problem?
Bloody Windows.
Sorry.
Get a Mac.
Okay, now hooking all this stuff up is just a little bit tricky, but not really seriously tricky. Audio CDs basically have their particular encoding format, which is made for audio CDs. It's made for high quality. It's got a certain amount of bits and stereo and all those kinds of things. It's got its own standard and own format. Computer CD-ROM drives can actually read it because, I mean, they are just CD-ROM drives. And in fact, without any computer processing being required, so they don't actually have to read the data, massage it, and then spit it out through the sound card, they can in fact just activate it, and it actually comes out on a little socket on the front of the CD-ROM drive.
Cool.
And also on a little 4-pin connector on the back of the CD-ROM drive. So if you've ever wondered what they're for, that's really what they're all about. So the audio data is not, as a rule, actually not 100% true, but as a rule, it is not put out on the IDE data bus or the SCSI data bus.
It's a really good way of recording a real ton of WAV files, too. You got some favourite audio clips on a CD, CD music CD?
Convert them, yeah.
It's very easy to convert the WAV.
Yeah, that's true, yep. Ooh, now, the data is actually sent out in a different manner, and that's basically put out as a data stream for the computer to process on the back. So that's totally different from the audio CD data. Now, sure, that data could be digitized sound, but maybe not in audio CD format. For example, it could be a lower quality, maybe 8-bit digitized sound, so it might sound a bit raspy.
Whatever. Yeah, it does actually.
Yeah, but it's basically different to what comes out of the socket on the front or the 4-pin connector on the back. And some CDs even have some audio CD format information, and if you haven't got that wired into your system, that information on some of your games would actually be missing. So it is actually worthwhile firing up that analog signal and wiring it in to your sound card. Basically, all these different formats of sound, I suppose to draw an analogy, it's a bit like having three languages on one CD and they're all treated slightly differently. So anyway, here is the point. The audio CD signals aren't output along with the pictures, animation, etc. on the data bus. They come out on the 4-pin connector or on the front through the headphone socket. And that has to pass to be passed via a separate audio, not a data cable, to the sound card. And basically what you do then is you use simply the amplifier on the sound card to just amplify that audio data just like any other amplifier. Now, usually what you're going to need is a thin grey cable which goes inside the PC from the CD-ROM drive, that's the 4-pin connector on the back of that, to the sound card. And this is totally separate to the ribbon data cable. The problem is that if you buy some sound cards, and I think this is where people are falling into a trap, if you buy the sound card separately from the CD-ROM drive, you usually don't get this little grey thin cable with the 4-pin connector on it.
Right.
And why is that? Because the CD-ROM drive people don't know what sort of a sound card you're going to have, and the sound card people don't know what sort of a CD-ROM drive you're going to have, and the left and right channels and the earths and whatever and all those sort of things on those cables could be all wrong. So why should they give you a cable? If you buy a complete kit of a CD-ROM and sound card, of course, they usually do have that little audio cable. Now, how do you test it? How do you know if you can make your system work? Simple. Fire up your audio CD software, plug in a headphone into the front socket of the CD-ROM drive, and turn up the volume, which is the little wheel on the front of your CD-ROM drive, and use it as a glorified audio CD player.
If you have no wheel, it should be in your setup, shouldn't it?
Yeah, there should be something in there. Usually there's a little volume control wheel or something on the front of your CD-ROM drive. Yeah. Now, it might be actually cranked up to maximum, you might find. So if that works, then basically really all you need to do to test out whether the cable is inside your computer, apart from looking inside your computer, is just plug a cable from the front socket of the CD-ROM drive to the back of the sound card, say into the auxiliary input. Now, then sound should go through the sound card to the speakers and you should be able to listen to your audio CDs. And that's basically as simple as that, as it gets. Now, another common complaint with the sound cards and digitized sound is that people are getting lots of clicks in the sound periodically every second or just every now and then after it's been, say, digitized and then played back. Now, an easy way to check whether you've got that problem, and this is a common complaint, you can find that when you fire up Windows, you know, you get the ta-da and all that sort of stuff. Was that a good rendition of it?
Ta-da!
What is it with you guys and sound effects tonight?
If we're in the radio, you see, and I can't see us, so you can be jerks.
Now, if you're getting a bit of clicking or distortion during that, what you might find is that your computer is actually spending a lot of time accessing
away
the smart
home.
Drive or your swap RAM, or in fact you could be having a problem that we talked about a few weeks ago where you're using a VGA card with lots of colors, a super high resolution driver, and it's actually taking a lot of time to fill that up. And recently I've even found that where we recorded some sound, we digitized it into .wav files, and we even find it was actually happening during the recording process. Mm-hmm. And as the little second timer was ticking over in the bottom of the screen, it would go tick, crackle, tick, yeah, crackle, crackle, click. I like that. Yeah, click, click, click. And of course, if you then play it back...
You're a master of the sound effects.
Tonight we're doing well, aren't we? So that's something to think about. Look, if you're getting this kind of crackling and intermittent clicks and ticks, try going back to your 640 by 480 by 256 color driver rather than using your super flashy, super duper 800 by 600 64K color driver. And that's going to reduce the processing needs and can completely eliminate those nasty clicks.
Fantastic!
Well, there we are.
So?
We're all digitaled out.
That's the most